Welcome to What the Fact, powered by Pad Squad. I am Rich Cost, and we are keeping you up to mobile speed. What the Fact is up with all the numbers? Research and performance numbers, that is. Or metrics. Everything is governed by data. But what makes good data? And what makes a good data story? We are joined in the Pad Squad room with Peter Kuhn, sales director from Moat, a leading analytics company that develops measurement technologies for brands and publishers, including viewability and engagement metrics and analytics for mobile companies like Pad Squad. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Peter, we talk a lot about metrics. We talk a lot about analytics. And you work for a really great company called Moat. Mm-hmm. So how do you, as a sales director, know what to present and how to present it?
So at Moat, we're in the business, we like to say, of making brand advertising better online. We think that there aren't really any standard metrics for success for brands or for agencies that are buying on behalf of those brands or for publishers to fundamentally understand really the efficacy of their advertising. So when I think about like how do we present and what do we present, I almost start by saying, are we even measuring everything to begin with? You've got your traditional desktop, you've got your banners, you've got your mobile placements, you've got your over-the-top devices, video, social platforms, anything that is connected to the internet we can measure. And from our standpoint, it's about integrating with those platforms, whether you're selling them or buying them, and understanding what's happening when ultimately ads are being served on them.
Do you really do look at what the objective is of the person that you're going in with?
Yeah, and I think that's, from our standpoint, what's interesting, right? It's what are these objectives?
And people don't come to a website necessarily to see advertising.
No, it's an important part of this, right? Advertising is utilized to pay for products that get created. And it's also used to actually get products to be purchased. You know, for instance, a brand that sells soda water or a brand that sells cars, you know, their job is to get those things out of lots or off the shelves. The methods of which we use to try to get in front of consumers are completely varied in digital. And any of the initiatives you use to actually try to do that, you know, are based off of a lot of assumptions of what works.
What do you think that you do differently?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So from Moat's standpoint, we've started out with this idea of how do you measure human attention online? Because I think at the end of the day, if you're a brand advertiser, what matters to you is that people are paying attention to you. When you go to a website and you want to get information, you're looking at that content. If the ad does a good job of capturing your attention, we want to capture that moment and allow people to tell stories about that. If you can go back to a brand and say, listen, of the audience that went out and was reading news, are they watching videos, are they consuming content on mobile devices, we put all these different sorts of ads in front of them, whether it were banners or videos or native content or anything that you might consider an advertisement, what happened when people were given the option to look at that versus the content itself? Because that moment right there where someone chooses to interact with a brand, I think tells a more compelling story or could tell a more compelling story to a brand rather than here's how many impressions I got or here's how many clicks I got or here's how many viewable impressions I got. Right now, if I were to zoom out on the whole digital industry, you know, how big we are, mm-hmm. something like $50 billion a year gets spent in digital advertising, and that's everything that you know Facebook gets, everything that Google gets, all of search, all of display, all of programmatic, and something like 80% of that is still direct response. It's still focused on bottom of the funnel, did I actually get somebody to sign up for something or buy something?
Right. At the end of the day, really, the action they want to take is to buy that product.
Yeah, and I think that you asked me earlier what separates Moat from other measurement companies. And I think from our standpoint, it's that the problems we're trying to solve around viewability and non-human traffic and better measurement are all tertiary and secondary to the big problem we're trying to solve, which is brands don't spend a whole lot of money online. And from our standpoint, I think, at least, and the founders of Moat think that the reason for that is just there aren't any standard metrics for success for brand advertisers on the web. I think if you went to an agency or to a brand that sells cars or that sells consumer packaged goods or pharmaceuticals or beverages and said, how do you know it worked? Really simple question. You know, you spent X millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars in advertising last year in digital. And some of that went to desktop, some of it went to mobile, some of it went to video, some of it went to social. They have this entire media plan. It's almost hedged out in terms of where you try to find the audience.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it worked? And we are still defaulting to how many impressions did I get and what was my click-through rate.
And after all of the time that they take to actually parse it out and say, I'm going to give this amount to my digital budget, and I'm going to do this amount in video, and I'm doing this amount in social, and there's not a clear line that comes out that says this is what's going to be driving the action.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when we don't have good standards for success, we default to bad standards.
Mm.
I personally think the click-through rate is just the worst standard for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's no correlation between clicking on an ad and buying something offline. That's fundamentally true.
Right.
That's not how humans behave. It's not how you buy things. And I think on top of that, if you were to just look at the statistical significance of a click, the average click-through rate on an ad is something like 0.03%. So that's like 3 out of 10,000 people doing something on the internet. Let's ignore the 99% of people and focus on the 3% of people that did something, and we don't even know if that's something that they did. A click-through rate actually led to them buying something offline.
Right, because there has never been a bridge that showed that that click actually led to an actual purchase.
And it doesn't.
Purchase.
I mean, you could look at companies like Nielsen are really public with this information that, you know, clicking on ads doesn't lead to offline sales.
Right.
I use myself as the standard signal, the acid test, if you will. Like, I don't click on ads. I don't know if you click on ads.
Well, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also a marketing person.
Intentionally,
so
yeah.
Well, I do it for two reasons. You know, when I click on an ad, I'm looking to see what the next step is, because I'm engaged in the user experience. I want to see where I'm going to be taken to next. I also find that I am actually more motivated to purchase if I am given the purchase opportunity right then.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting analogy, because what we're essentially talking about then is direct response advertising.
Right. Exactly.
Like, give you an image or give you some sort of vehicle that you're putting in, whether it's a video ad or a big rich media ad or it's a text ad, and command you to action. You know, buy this product.
Right.
But if you sell cars and your goal is to say, drive the amount of time that an audience spends in a mobile web environment or in a mobile environment or in a pre-roll video environment or just surfing out across the web, you've got to find a more compelling way to tell a story to those people in a way that doesn't obstruct their pathway through the internet when they're trying to get information, however much of the pie that is for their day, so that they don't go out and say, you know, leave the site because it's annoying in terms of the amount of ads in the vehicle, or and finding a way to tell to actually inform that creative story, I think, can be powered with better metrics, with measuring at scale things beyond viewability and understanding fundamentally are people actually noticing ads, are they paying attention to them, and then what role does that play in a broader media plan?
And what has Moat done to get to that point?
I think that one of the problems that we saw in the marketplace was that there was a fragmentation in terms of measurement. So there were a lot of different ways to measure things like viewability on the buy side. So agencies traditionally had partners that they could work with to figure out whether or not their ads were actually showing up in front of publishers, in front of those impressions that they buy from publishers. I think that what wasn't apparent was that if you're going to ultimately try to transact on new types of currencies, the buy side and the sell side both need to have the same sorts of metrics. So what we started doing, and we've always been a product-first organization, was try to build really great technology that can be used at scale, whether you're selling display advertising or mobile advertising or video advertising or native advertising, or just trying to measure your content. Develop technology that can measure every single time you put that in front of your audience, and be able to put that into a platform and into a reporting system that helps you analyze what people are doing. Not just did your ad show up, was it viewable, but how long was it there for? You know, are people scrolling down on your page to actually see that ad? Are they hovering over the ads? If they do hover over the ad, how much time are they spending there? I think video, there are lots of questions to ask. Things like, you know, not just did the ad show up per a viewability standard, which is 50% of the player for 2 seconds, but are people completing ads with the sound on? What are they doing throughout quartiles of completion? And then when you have all those metrics from a sell side perspective and also on a buy side perspective, you get apples to apples comparison of the data. And I think that's what allows us to move the industry forward in terms of finding new standards.
But doesn't everyone then, they take the data and they kind of spin it to make the greatest story ever told?
Yeah, I mean, you can spin data any way you want, and numbers are funny in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't look outside of, say, benchmarking and understand where you sit against the industry, or if you don't look outside of, you know, what your objectives were to begin with. You know, was the objective to get exposure? If so, how much of that exposure were you getting? Was that to the right audience? Can you verify that it was actually the right audience that you were exposing your ads to? I think you can spin numbers any way you want, and that'll never change. That's always existed in advertising. I think what's important is that we actually measure these things to begin with at scale.
And also, you had mentioned before, and I know we had talked about it, is about the objective, being clear about what the objective really is.
Yeah. Objectives are funny. I mean, I think what this all comes back down to is transparency of what that objective is. So when the brand decides that they're going to spend a certain amount of money in advertising in a given year, and they decide that a certain portion of their media budget is going to be spent offline and a certain percent of it is going to be spent online, and they decide what's going to be spent online, that gets written in a brief, and that's given to the agency, and it's given to the creative agency, and then those agencies go out, and the creative team goes out and develops the creative, mm-hmm. the banners, the video ads, the native placements that align with those objectives. And then the media buying agency goes out and tries to find partners to sell the ad space, you know, supply side partners, to sell that ad space to try to meet those objectives. And what I think is sometimes getting lost in translation in terms of making sure that objectives are apples to apples is that the sellers who are measuring their advertising are learning from that measurement, and the buyers who are buying advertising are learning as well and using that to inform future decision making.
When we talk about advertising and the placement and where they should buy and how they should buy, it's not so much that you have those traditional states of time anymore.
No.
And so you really have to look at where the consumer is and what they're doing and how do you target them. And that is not usually always a mass reach opportunity. You're actually engaging with somebody one-on-one, a very different type of marketing,
yeah.
a very different type of message delivery.
I think it's a really good point, and I think it's one of the points that's actually going to affect brands and publishers the most, which is most of the money, I was saying earlier, you know, 80% of all advertising, something like two-thirds of all advertising worldwide is done in branding. Where is that done? Traditionally, broadcast television gets the most. People do watch TV a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it does give you an uninterrupted time to tell a story. It's standardized.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 30-minute block of television is 22 minutes of content and 8 minutes of commercials that are 15 and 30-second spots. I think what would keep a brand up at night is that they're traditionally trying to reach an audience that consumes media in the broadcast format. Except that audience doesn't necessarily exist at the scale that they thought it did. And they're going to places where you can't advertise.
That's a challenge that comes up with advertisers now. How do we get in there to get to that audience?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, it's two things. Like, I would never think that you would go to a brand and say, you know, digital is growing year over year. It's time to move your dollars over. Because you don't change something if it's not fundamentally broken. And it's not fundamentally broken. People do watch a lot of broadcast television, and commercials do drive value.
Correct.
I think what I look at the opportunity is, you know, if I'm a media buyer or if I'm working at a brand and I want to understand how well my media is working, clicks and impressions aren't cutting it. And that's probably one of the reasons that I don't buy online, is that there aren't any standards for me to know at scale what digital platform drives the most value for me. There's no standards for me to then build that into my brief the following year in terms of how my media agency should go buy things. And then there are no standards that were traditionally used for those media agencies to then optimize in real time, whether it's direct to publisher or programmatic or in any ad format, to understand if they're actually reaching that audience. I think that the viewability discussion is almost a fatiguing discussion,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't answer the question of whether or not your advertising works. It you know, Times Square is viewable.
Yeah.
Is it the best product experience for the consumer? I don't know. I mean, I there are a ton of people go there every day, but I, as a New Yorker, avoid it.
And is anyone standing out there saying, did you see this ad in Times Square?
No. How do you know that one worked versus the other? They're all viewable. They're all there. They're not getting covered up at night. There's lights on them.
Correct.
But does it say, did the thing work?
And that was one of the first things I learned in market research, was if you gave people 6 options as to where they saw an advertisement, most oftentimes 80 to 90% are going to say they saw it on television.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting too. Like, there are so many exogenous variables that could cause somebody to go do one thing versus another.
Right.
And what I think the opportunity in digital is versus, say, more traditional like print or like broadcast television or like outdoor advertising is that we can measure a lot of things in digital. And we can make insights off of audience behavior or consumer behavior, whether or not that person has opted into saying that that ad affected them. I think that if we start looking at things like time as a commodity, mm-hmm. impressions are a commodity. You can buy millions of them, billions of them, and there are prices for them. But time is not an unlimited commodity, right? You only have 24 hours in a day, and you can choose where you want to spend that 24 hours. And if I consume some of my time in a mobile device or in a desktop device or in a video, you know, format, and then I have advertising hit me in those formats, I think if the buyers and if the brands communicate to those audiences in a meaningful way, whether the audience opts into saying that it affected them or not, that's probably driving offline sales. And that's ultimately the biggest thing that matters to a brand. Like, they create a product that they want to sell.
It's about selling a product. So we've spent a lot of time on advertisers and branding. But you also assist publishers of sites.
You know, working with some of the most premium publishers on the web. I think for them, the questions to ask always have to revolve around the product. What's the best consumer experience? And if that consumer is giving me some of their time, how do I make sure that I don't take it for granted? And how do I make sure that I put, you know, the ads in front of the, you know, them to ultimately drive value for me? And I think about that, and I think about the value of that space. And the reason why an audience would ever want to go there to begin with is because they want that publisher's core product. Your core product is getting digital content in front of somebody, whether it's on their connected device at home or on their laptop or on their mobile device. The advertising just brings down the cost of creating that content. I think that we have to be mindful of like the almost the unassumed third party here, the audience, the person who chooses to spend time with that product, the person who's ultimately buying something. I think we have to ask better questions around what the right experience is for them. You know, what is the right ad experience online? It's not standardized like it was. In digital, it's totally fragmented. And I think we're, you know, the internet as a commercial platform to sell things is still very young. And I think we're all kind of playing catch up in terms of how do we design things appropriately. You know, the speed of internet is catching up in terms of how much information we can put in front of somebody, the creative engagement in terms of what brands are realizing the power of technology is catching up, and the role that we want to play in that, whether it's from a transactional standpoint, allowing buyers and sellers to transact off the same numbers, or fundamentally from an informative standpoint, is to figure out how are people paying attention in all these different moments. Like when they choose to actually opt in to that advertising and spend more time with it, how are they paying attention? Like we ask questions around, you know, exposure time. You know, once a banner ad is in front of somebody, how long was it there for in aggregate? Are people hovering over ads, interacting with ads in video? Are they completing them with the sound on if given the opportunity to? And I think if we ask those questions, we can start to maybe come to some better answers and some better conversations with the people that buy those ads.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Thank you for having me. I hope it was informative.
Absolutely. So, you know, clearly there's a lot to consider in terms of data, and hopefully we've made things a little clearer and a little easier to understand. But one thing to remember is that there are experts like Peter and companies like Moat that can help make sense of it all. So I wish to thank you again for being here today. And thank you for listening. Be sure to visit us on padsquad.com and let us know what you think. Join us next week when we delve into user experience with our guest, Sina Jazayeri, lead engineer at PadSquad. I'm Rich Kost for What the Fact, powered by PadSquad, keeping you up to mobile speed.